Thank you, Brad. Thank you, everyone. There's so many people that have made us feel welcome already. And when we got to the apartment next to Kevin Kipfer's, where we're staying yesterday afternoon, everything was all set up for us, and many of you have helped out in that, and we very much thank you. And yes, it is great to be here. I'm looking forward to getting to know hopefully all of you and visiting with you, and that'll be a great time, I'm sure. I hope I can be of some assistance as we move forward and as you seek God's will for what he has for you in the future. This is, I will admit, a new experience. I've been involved in pastoral ministry for many years, but being up here, it doesn't feel that way. Everything feels new. The surroundings are new, the people are new, the work is new, but God is here. And I was praying about this all week, and the familiar verse that is familiar at least to many of you came to me again, and I believe that this is a verse God gave me, and that's Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I think that's the key for all of us as we go about doing his will. Sometimes we feel like this isn't something that we can do on our own, but as Christ works through us, we can do his will. So I'm really looking forward to it. And before I actually get into my sermon, I should probably mention publicly that there are two churches back in Pennsylvania that specifically have given us their support, not financial support, but their prayer support and their commissioning. And that is Parksburg Mennonite Church, where I ministered for many years, and also Old Road Mennonite Church, where we have been attending a little bit more recently. And I'd like to thank you for both of those, thank those congregations, both of those, for their support. I know you don't know those congregations, but no, we're not just one congregation here, one congregation here, one congregation here. We're all one body, and we're all one body here, and that's not just true of us. We're all one body in Christ as a group of congregations as well. Well, Nate has already said how I was going to begin, and that is what day it is today, that this is Pentecost Sunday. Thank you, Nate. 50 days after Easter. I don't always look at the calendar when I start preaching, but sometimes I do, and on Pentecost particularly, I think that's a good place to look at, talking about Jesus being with us in the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's what it's all about. That's where I want to begin. So this Sunday is Pentecost. And just in reflection of that, I'd like to turn to Acts chapter 1 and read Acts 1, verse 1 through verse 8. And feel free to listen, follow along, or whatever. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." This scripture is the last message that Jesus had with the disciples before he ascended into heaven. And as we think about this scripture, we're especially drawn to a couple of things: his promise that he will be present with us, and his commissioning to us to be his witnesses. That, at least, that's what was there for the disciples. So Jesus was there with them. But what does this scripture have to us? Are these commands, are these promises for us just as they were with the disciples Jesus was speaking to? I think they are. And the first thing, and very important, is that Jesus is present with us today. The first thing that is emphasized in the first four verses particularly is that Jesus was with them. Well, then he ascended into heaven, and when Jesus ascended into heaven, the disciples looked there. How would you have felt, you know, after walking around with Jesus for 3 years, and then he was crucified, and then he rose again? And I don't know how the disciples felt, but I'm sure they had wonderful joy when they saw the resurrection of Jesus. But there he goes. At least that's what I would have thought. Jesus is leaving us. And in verse 10, it says that's pretty much exactly what happened. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going. This is in verse 10. And then two angels, and I think those, it says two men dressed in white. I think they were angels. "Why do you stand there looking up into the sky?" And he said, "Jesus is going to come back in the same way. And we have that promise. But we don't have to wait until Jesus comes back again and returns for us to know the presence of Jesus. I believe that Jesus is alive and he is present with us today. He's not just in heaven, he's present with us today. We could think of Matthew 28:20. "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." So he wasn't just here 3 years and went into heaven. He came back, and he's with us today. And this is a little bit of a confession on my part. I have to confess that I think of Jesus a little bit more up there than I do down here. I don't like that. And I desire more of the presence of God and more of the presence of Jesus. I don't know how much you've thought about that. Maybe some of you are at a similar place. I don't know where you're at on that. Theologians talk about the transcendence of God and the immanence of God. There is a transcendence of God, that God, there's a certain aspect to God that God just isn't just here. God is far away. But there's also the imminence of God. God is here. He's with us. So it's kind of a both end. It's not just an either or. It's a both end. And yes, Jesus is with us in the presence of the Holy Spirit. But whether we feel that way or not, there's two parts to this. Jesus is with us, but we also have a part to play. We have a part to play when it comes to the presence of Jesus. We could think of John 15. Jesus said, "Abide in the vine." The vine is here, and you are attached to the vine. I'm the vine, you're the branches. But he said, abide in the vine. We have to do something to receive on a continual basis that life that comes from the vine. And two summers ago, Lois and I were in Switzerland, France, and Germany on an Anabaptist tour. And that was a great experience. And one of the side things that we saw, certainly not the reason we went, but especially when we were in France, what did we see? A bunch of grapevines, of course. What were the grapevines there for? I don't know. I'm sure probably wine, I assume. But anyway, when I saw those grapevines, I thought about this verse. I am the vine, you are the branches. So how do we abide in the vine? Or how do we practice the presence of God? Okay, yes, Jesus is here. He's with us, inside us. Okay, so we know that. But how do we practice that? How do we learn that, you know? To experience that on a more continuing basis. I have a feeling that some of you could teach me some of those things, but certainly part of it is by praising him each day. Praise God every day. Praise him in the morning. Praise him in the evening. Praise him throughout the day. Throughout the day, praise him. Continually pray. We pray especially, but we also pray throughout the day. We pray as we continue to walk with him. Pray without ceasing. We also experience the presence of Jesus when we come to Jesus with our struggles. And we have certain struggles with us. I'm sure we do, all of us have certain struggles, and we know that we fall short in certain areas, and when we fall short in those certain areas, then sometimes we feel like God isn't present with us at all. But he's especially present when we bring those things to Jesus and confess those, and then we experience Jesus in a special way. So there are some things that we can do to experience the presence of Jesus, and I'd like to hear more about how you experience the presence of Jesus. I think that's part of the reason we're here. We're here to learn from each other and to learn how we can grow in him. And then Jesus went on to say something else. He said, wait. Before his disciples attended. Now, Nate said something that I don't agree with. Sorry, Nate. Nate said, when he was talking here, he said that immediately the disciples went out. That's almost right, but not quite. Jesus didn't tell them to go right away. He said, wait until you receive the Holy Spirit, until you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the disciples could not just go out there on their own without the Holy Spirit. I think that's important. As we witness to others, as we serve those around us, certainly it's something we do. But we need the Holy Spirit, and we need the presence of the Holy Spirit, and we need the power of the Holy Spirit to do that. Okay, so what do we do with this command to wait? Isn't the Holy Spirit here now? Do we have to wait 10 more days just like the disciples did? Well, I don't think it's quite like that. In a way, it's different. Yes, we do have the Holy Spirit. But then in another way, there's a part that we have to play in that too. As I talk about that, this goes back to something that I've struggled with when I was younger. I'm not sure it's quite this way today anymore, but at least when I was younger, there was a lot of talk about what the Holy Spirit meant, or maybe it was just something I went through. That's possible. But I know I went through a time when I thought, what does the baptism of the Holy Spirit mean? Because I desired the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I also knew some Pentecostals. And the Pentecostals told me, oh no, that's a separate event. Oh? What do you mean by that? Oh wait, I'm not done. And I said, well, how do you know you're baptized with the Holy Spirit? And I knew some Pentecostals at the time, and of course, this is what they told me. Well, you speak in tongues. So I went through a time in my spiritual life when I struggled with what all that meant for me. And as I studied and as I read the scripture, I had to conclude that yes, the Holy Spirit is meant for us, but no, tongues is not meant for everybody. So I've concluded that the Holy Spirit is here, and if you're in here as a person of faith, that yes, the Holy Spirit is in your life. And yet there's more that we desire. We want to be renewed. At least I do. I want the Holy Spirit to fill me in a deeper way. I want to learn more what this is all about. We continually need renewal. I need renewal. And I believe that there's some desire on your part. You feel renewal as a person. Maybe as a church there's some desire for renewal here. And I hope that as I worship with you and as I am with you, we can experience renewal together here. And that's a desire and a hope that I have, and I believe God wants that kind of renewal. And I wish I could tell you, well, if you do this and this and this, then renewal is going to happen. Well, renewal is a work of God. I can't tell you exactly how that will happen. But we do, I believe, need to wait upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And there's a story that I discovered this week about eagles. I don't know too much more about eagles than you do, except that about 3 miles from our house, maybe. There's an eagle's nest, and there's been an eagle's nest there for 2 or 3 years, at least. And people stop and look and take pictures of all this. Anyway, that's just kind of a side thing. That's all been very interesting. So eagles are still around. Anyway, I'm told that when eagles fly, first of all, they step off the branch and they really fall down. And then as they fall down, they have to flap their wings real, real hard. But then they start to go, and as they go, they can spread out their wings and just kind of let the air carry them. Maybe this is a little bit of a picture of how the Spirit works in our lives. At first, we really need to come to Him, and we need to pray, and we need to really seek the Spirit. But as we do that, the wind of the Spirit will come, and we can learn to continue in that. These are just some things that I'm mentioning as I think about my own experience with the Holy Spirit and with being renewed. And I'd like to see us learn together and be renewed together by the Holy Spirit. And that's one of my desires and one of my hopes, that we can wait upon the Lord, and that might mean coming together as well to wait upon the Lord and to pray together and seek His renewal. We want to seek God together here in the coming months as we are together. Or we could think of some other scriptures about renewal. Romans 12:2, our minds play an important part. Do not be transformed, but do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, Romans 12:2. Or Ephesians 4:22 to 24. You were taught with regard to your former way of self to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. Or Ephesians 5:18, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. I think of that verse sometimes, not because I have trouble getting drunk with wine. In fact, I'm not sure I've ever even tasted wine. Maybe I did one swallow when I was real young. But anyway, so that's not part of it. But I'll tell you what the wine is that I have. That's kind of funny. That's funny-looking wine. But, you know, I guess I'm making some confessions this morning. It's so much easier just to pick up a computer and to pray and seek God's presence. Do any of you experience that? I wonder. Maybe I'm the only one. So we need to be made new in the attitude of our minds, and we need to let the Holy Spirit fill us. And that might mean saying goodbye to some of the other things that we fill our minds and our hearts with. And maybe there's something that God is bringing to you, to your mind. Maybe for you it's something entirely different. But I'm calling you to let the Holy Spirit fill you, and that might mean that you have to give up something. And if so, I would invite you to give that up today and to seek the full presence of the Holy Spirit. So I trust that this will be a time of renewal for us. So, in this scripture, we're told that Jesus is with us, we're told to wait, but then the final command that is also very present is to go. And he said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons, but you will receive power, and then what? It says, you will be my witnesses. And in Matthew 28:19-20, he says, go ye into all the world and make disciples of all nations. Now, what does that mean for you right here in Alden? It says, go into all the world. What does being his witnesses in Alden mean for you? What does it mean for me? I just moved here. What does it mean to be his witnesses? You know, people were not just a group of believers. One person lives here, one lives here, one lives here. And we come together on Sunday morning, and that's great. Then we go home again, and then that's about it. God has a purpose for us coming together, and that is the community around us, the people around us. What does that mean? What does it mean to reach out into the community? What are your gifts? How is God calling you? How is God calling us to work together into the community? I'd like to see that become one of the things that we seek and we grow in as we're together. What is God's mission for us here and throughout the world? One thing that I've noticed is that I believe there's three missionaries that you support. That's great. And we need to be continually supporting those and reaching out into the world. But mission is also here. In Alden and in around the home where you live, where I live, what does that mean for us? Or how can we learn to develop deeper relationships with those around us? How can we draw those around us to Christ and make disciples. What does that mean to work together in the name of Jesus to do that? I'm not coming here with one easy answer for that. That's something that the church needs to seek together. And I'd like to encourage this church to see and really see what that mission is. After all, this is our mission, and it's so easy to get away from that and then just kind of come together and forget what our mission is. No, people. We're here for a purpose, and we're here for a mission. I'm going to give one example, and it's probably the best experience that I had when I was at Parksburg in terms of mission. And I debated how specific to be, but I think I will be specific. But as I give this example, what God wants to do here is something entirely unique here. Anyway, back in the early 2000s, I think it was, there was a speaker that came to our church, and he gave an invitation not for people to give their lives to Christ for the first time, but for those who wanted to really commit themselves to mission in the community. And there were 7 people that went forward and committed themselves to that. Well, of course, then the speaker went home. And I was a pastor, and I knew this happened. I thought, well, now what do we do? What do we do now? So I called these people, and I may have said, should we do something? Yeah, we all decided we should get together. So we got together, and we got together 3 or 4 times, I think, anyhow. And we prayed, and we talked together. And we said, what do we do? And, well, out of that, this is just what happened there in Parksburg. Out of that, there was, after a while, a feeling like we needed to try and reach the youth of the community. But how do we do that? So we got others involved in other churches as well. And out of that came something that was called the Parksburg Point. The Parksburg Point is a youth center. And I still remember we found a place, and we had an open house for the first time. And some of us said, how many youth do you think will sign up? Be great if 70 or 75 or 100 would show up. That would be great. Well, so we had the sign-up day. 600 kids signed up. 600. And we realized God's doing something here that we don't understand. And that's still true. And they do have a great body of people that works together, a great leader there. And there's still a consistent group, not of 600, but of, I would say, 50 or so anyhow, that can continue to come together, and lives have been changed. So anyway, that's just one example. What God wants to do here is different. And I just want to begin here by raising that question. And it's not a question I can answer. It's a question you're going to have to answer. And I certainly want to be here and pray with you. But it's a question you have to answer. What is it that God wants to do? That's what we're to be all about. So God has given us his promise, I will be with you always. And he's given us that promise that he will be with us through the Holy Spirit. We also have to come together and seek the Holy Spirit. And he's given us a commission to the community and to the world to make disciples of those around us. And I trust that that's what will happen in the days ahead. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we give you thanks for how much you love us. Oh Lord, thank you for your presence with us today. Yes, we know you're present. You're here. But Lord, I pray too that you would fill us. Help us, Lord, to know what your will is to reach out here in this community. Lord, just show us your mission. Empower us. Fill us. Show us your mission. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. And lead the congregation in the coming days as they seek your will. In Jesus' name, amen.